Good morning. Good morning, Impact Church. Well, I'm everywhere today. This morning and then church news and then here again today. It says, please welcome Pastor Tony Story. He's not here today. He's online though. Yeah, so welcome church. Good to see you all. Good to see everyone today. And if you're just tuning in online, we want to welcome our online community. Good to see you wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, whether in the couch, bedroom, kitchen, whatever. You know, God's there and present. And yeah, it's going to be a great day. There's so many things on church news. I don't know whether you've captured all of that, but, you know, Ask Me Desk is the first point of reference. So anything you need to know, spread the warmth, spread the word, spread the warmth and spread the word. This is a really good course, guys, so make sure you get on board and just buy a robe. I mean, how much is a robe these days? But you can actually give someone a hug through getting them a robe, and that's really a good course. And I'm so excited that as a church that we can actually partner with Brisbane Domestic Violence Service, and that's always a good thing, you know. I'm echoing in here. So our pastor, Tony and Cheryl's away on holidays and they're living it up in Airlie Beach, but they're online. So hi to you. Hi, Pastor Tony and Cheryl. And, you know, they send their love and greetings to you. And some of our leaders are away due to being affected by COVID and some sickness and illnesses. And so, you know, we want to welcome them as well today. And that's, you know, if you know of somebody that is actually not here, why don't you give them a call and pick up the phone and say hi and see if they're doing okay. And I know it's a long weekend, a few people are away, but aren't you glad that God does not take long weekends? He doesn't take long weekends, or he's not affected by sicknesses or COVID, or he's not restricted by that. And so just, you know, thankful for each and every one of you that are here in person. I'm so grateful, and, you know, for our online as well, and great technology that we can do this. So I just want to pray before I share the word of God this morning. Father, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that no matter where we are, Father, that you will meet us in the middle of our messes, in the middle of our moments and our darkest moments, and even in the happy moments, Father. I pray for your presence to be here, and I know it is already here. I pray that you will touch people, and through online, Father God, by means of, Lord, that these words that I'm about to share, Lord God, that will penetrate deep within, Father, so that we can live better lives and be better people, Father. We thank you that your presence is already here, and we thank you for your love, your kindness, and your faithfulness. Lord, anoint this word, anoint your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, my prayer today that as I share this word with you, that something will be that's going to click or shift and change in your life. I really do pray that this morning. And, you know, at the end of my message, we're going to be taking communion together as a family. So if you are online this morning, why don't you prepare that grape juice and bread and biscuit, and we will get that ready for you. Just one moment. I'm just going to switch mic. You're going to love technology. Sorry for that break. So, can everyone hear me? Good? Okay. So, for all the coffee lovers, can you open up your Bible to the book of Hebrews? There's no Hebrews, okay? So, but Hebrews. I know, that's a bit lame, isn't it? Oh, I want to welcome also
baby Joy. Joy Carlisle. First time physical service. So that's really exciting. She's so adorable. She's been hearing the word of God for a long, long time. You know, 9 months ago, you know, in mummy's belly. So, you know, so that's always a good thing. So anyway, so Hebrews 13 verse 8. I want to share the thought with you. Same God. Did anyone like that song this morning? Same God. It's a powerful song, and we're going to be singing that again at the end of the service, but also at the end of the month we're going to teach you the other verses, and that's going to be exciting. So Hebrews 13 verse 8. This is what it says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you hear that? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, when I was reading this scripture, and I'm in the book of Hebrews at the moment, it just jumped out at me. Because if you read it beforehand and afterwards, it's got actually nothing to do with anything that was just inserted in there. It was just like, it popped out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the book of Hebrews is all about the description of God being enough. You know, it's a description of, it is the centrality and all sufficiency and supremacy of Jesus. So when I read this scripture, it's powerful. And it's simple, yet it's powerful for our daily lives. And one of the things that I love about this is that it reminds me that God does not change. God does not change. We can think of God in terms of humans, you know. People change their minds, their attitudes, their behaviors, their posture towards you know, their friendship, anything like that. But God does not change. God never changes. And God does not change. Not only does he not change, but he cannot change. God is not limited. He is all powerful. We have natural limitations. He does it. He is a supernatural God. He is same. Same. He's the same God to Abraham. He's the same God to Jacob. He's the same God to Moses. He is the same God to Mary, Joseph, Esther, Daniel, Peter, Paul, and all the other heroes of the Bible. And you know what? Today I want to encourage you that he is the same God for you. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're in the middle of, he is the same God for you. He is and will be the same God for you. If God loved you yesterday, he loves you today. And he will love you tomorrow. His love for us is not conditional like that of man's. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9, this is what it says. Understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. And I want to read something to you this morning. It's very powerful. God is today, he always was, he never began to be. There never was a time when he was not, and there never would be a time when he ceases to be. All that God is at this very moment, he has ever been and ever will be. All that God is, he cannot change for the better, for he's already perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. God is neither young nor old. He just is. There are no temporary changes in God. He does not have to keep up with the times. He does not revert back to what he was. Improvement and or deterioration is impossible with God. He is perpetually the same. He is altogether uninfluenced. You know, it is difficult for us as human beings to grasp the fact that God never changes, because everything in this world changes with the passing of enough time. You know, just look at our world today. It changes. Everything about our lives is changing from moment to moment, from day to day, from year to year. You know, one minute you're 27 years of age, you know, you have petite figure and full of hair and like great, you know, just toned up and muscle. And next minute, 20 years later, you're 47 and you're like hair falling out and you flourished a little bit and yeah. And you're not as toned as you were 20 years ago. Amen. Like, we change. I'm talking about myself. But we change. And sometimes we change for the not so good. Not so good. You know, next minute, you know, we're hot for Jesus. Next minute, you can't even bother going to church. Next minute, you're serving God with full of faith and full of joy. Next minute, your faith has waned and you're full of torment. One minute, you're honoring God with your tithes and offerings. And now you question, well, what is tithes? What is offering? Like, do I really have a God? I can't afford it. One minute, you're doing something else and next minute, you're not. So we change, and I know I can rattle off a few more, and I'm sure you can too, but I think that we need to realize that God never changes, but we do. If we're inclined to grieve because everything around us changes, our consolation will be found in turning to our unchanging God, and that's a quote from Charles Spurgeon. There's something about consistency or being consistent. It is comforting to know that Jesus is consistent. I don't like change. Does anyone like change? Not so much. Like, I know there's quotes about, you know, change is inevitable and, you know, growth is optional and change is constant. But for us to grow, change is vital. I get that there's a truth in that. But have you ever wondered why God doesn't change? Because I often wondered that. I often ask Him, God, why don't you change when I ask you to do something for me? It's a bit selfish, right? Have you ever asked that? God, why are you not changing this? Seriously, God. And He's always the same. He is not like seasons, you know, or a weather report, like, or if you live in Victoria, it's but apparently it says, you know, four seasons in one day. God is not like that. He doesn't change. He's never in a bad mood. Or you never have to walk on eggshells or anything like that. He's always the same. And, you know, when I ask God to say, God, can you change the situation? Like, I've begged, I've pleaded, I've done the bargaining thing. Who does that? I've yelled at God, I've argued with Him, I've got frustrated with Him. But really, at the end of the day, He just says, you finish? Are you finished? Like, don't you think that I'm God and you're not? Yeah, okay. And then I just go back in my little hidey hole. But, you know, we do that, don't we? If you're honest with yourself today, you get to say, God, if you do this, God, I will serve you all the days of my life. God, if you just change this particular situation, Lord, I will just, you know, do something. I will stop doing this. And God, 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 and fill in the blanks for you, right? But God does not change. We need to remember that God is not a puppet that follows us or ask or you know, puppet that whatever you may ask, you know, that He will do everything. He's also not the boss of you to order Him around. And we need to remember that it is often the circumstances that God is using to change us. God does not change, but we must change. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. You know, we accept the fact that God does not change and cannot change and He is perfection. Yet there are certain things in the Bible that seem to indicate that God has changed his mind. There seems to be instances in the scripture that God relented or changed his mind about something he was going to do. Let's take, for example, right? Let's be practical here. If you read your Bible, you will find this. Moses and the Israelites. He was going to destroy the people because they fell into sin and they carved themselves a golden calf and then they were worshipping it, right? Do you know that story in Exodus, right? So God was angry. He was angry and he says, I'm gonna smite you all. I'm going to kill you. But this is what Genesis actually says. The Lord was sorry he has ever made them and put them on the earth and it broke his heart. But Moses pleaded to God, and the scripture says that the Lord changed his mind about destroying the people. There's another one, King Saul. He regretted that he made Saul king because Saul departed from the commandments and the laws that God has asked him to do. But here comes another man named Samuel, and he interceded to God, and he was spared. What about Jonah and the whale? Do you know that story? You know, God called him and say, hey, rescue the people in Nineveh because I'm about to destroy them. But, you know, Jonah kind of like messed around and he just hid and, you know, he disobeyed God. And in the end, like he got swallowed by a whale and then, you know, then he obeyed God and then told the people about God's judgment. And then, you know, the people in Nineveh cried out to God. They declared a fast and then God spared them. So as you see in all of those circumstances, that God seemed to have changed his mind. I wonder if there are instances in your life that you ask God the same thing. Without being theologically deep with you this morning, the seeming changing of God's mind in these and other situations makes people wonder if God is wavering his word. But this is not the case. His desire to destroy was unalterable, right? He wanted to do that. But Moses' intercession on behalf of the people and all the other people that interceded kept them from being destroyed. And from humanity's point of view, God's mind was changed, but God had known all along that this would happen. So Moses prayed for mercy. Samuel interceded and Jonah interceded, and they were spared. The change was with humanity. We see in instances that when people intercede, God changed the outcome. Repentance and prayer is always the way to change an outcome. The change was not with God, it's with humanity. It is with us. Think about this. The judgment of God is final and true and will not change. But it's not God's character to still punish us or still punish the people if they repented and turned their ways, because that will make God an unjust God. Can you see what I'm talking about? God, his personality is always one of mercy, slow to anger and compassion. So, you know, he may say, okay, I'm going to destroy that, but if you repent and you turn from your wicked ways, then I will forgive you, I will pardon you, and I will spare you. And it sort of dawned on me that this is what he did when he sent his son Jesus on the cross. You know, we were going to be destroyed. You know, we were going to go eternally, we will, but he provided a way. He's a way maker. He provided Jesus to be the sacrifice for us so that we are spared and have an eternal life with him. You know, God's nature is always to redeem, to restore the relationship we have with him. There's always an intervention. And this morning I want to give you 3 points to not do in this ever-changing world. It will help us recalibrate and realign our hearts back to God, and it's a call for repent and remember. So the first one is don't resign on God's promises. Don't resign on God's promises. God's promises are true. It is unchanging, it's unchangeable, and it's immutable. Now that's a big word, immutable, right? But immutable just means it's unchanging over time or unable to be changed. Depending on how you read the Bible, there are so many promises in the Bible and how many it is. And I Googled it, right? It doesn't really tell me everything, but it says one thing and then says another. But apparently there's this man that Googled or that kind of counted the promises of God. He read the book, the Bible, 26 times, and he just collected what the promises of God were. And he collated that there's 7,487 promises in the Bible. So that's equated then to 20 promises per day, right? But I have this promise box. I'm just going to pick it up. This promise box, I remember when I was single and I lived with a family, actually John and Fran Carrop, who goes to this church, and they're probably online right now. And before I left, they gave me a promise box, and that's to remind me that wherever I go, there's always promises that God is going to be with me. So I kept that throughout my single years and also dating years and everything like that. And I also lived with a couple called Warren and Diane Blacken, who used to go to this church as well, and they're online at some times. And they also helped me, retain the promises of God, and they fed me. So I was exposed to all of this in my early Christian faith. And it is so powerful to have the promises of God embedded in your mind and in your heart. And I really encourage you to go through that. And so the other day I went to Coorong and bought a promise box because I want my children to be exposed to the promises of God, because really the influences they have is all technology and all the things of this world. And I want them to be exposed to the promises of God, because the promises of God is one that will stand. You know, the promises of God is the one that will stand. So I'll encourage you to do that. Because the times that we're living is going to get darker and darker. It's going to get more messier. And you need the promises of God to pull you through. So 2 Peter 1 verse 4, this is what it says. He has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So God has given us his great, not just his promises, but his great and very precious promises, so that we can have hope. We can have joy, we can have peace, wisdom and strength for whatever we are facing in our day. All his promises are covered for every situation, for every circumstances. You don't have to think that, oh, this is not going to be relatable, because God has covered them through it all. You can depend on God's promises. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? So I want to read to you some promises. I know this is going to be long in terms of, you know, scriptures, but I think this is soul food for us. And I think if you haven't had breakfast, this is a good breakfast food for you, okay? So can we just, you know, read it together? Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I want you to read this with me. Psalm 50 verse 15. It says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Joshua 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and do not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And last one is Genesis 28:15 says, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back on this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." I don't know about you, but these are the promises I want to trust. These are the promises I want to declare over my life and over my circumstances, especially in my darkest moments. So today, I want to encourage you. You know, God backs up his promises by the way, because of his nature. God will never break his promises to you. God will never lie or mislead you. It's not in his nature. Have you ever seen or been with people that break their promises? Well, God doesn't. He is not like that. So don't resign on God. Don't give up. God has not given up on you. He has not resigned because of the pandemic. And this is the thing that I want to encourage you. When you don't know what's ahead of you, remember what God has said to you last. Remember what God has said to you last. I encourage you to turn off your phone sometimes, turn off the TV, the loud noise that seems to be recurring in your mind. Open up your Bible. Seek and search the promises that are in this Bible for you, and ask God to give you a promise upon which you can stand. Ask God and he will. He will give you a promise. The second point I want to say is this. Don't rehearse the problems. Don't rehearse the problems. This is what happens. We come into a pity party and recalling on what instead, what it will be. We need to shut off the button, the off button, you know, that's in our minds. We need to shut that off. It's like a recorded message, a loop that keeps talking and talking and talking and becomes the dominant factor when you're actually trying to call on God's promises. Rehearsing the problems is actually a bad habit. Did you know that? It's a bad habit. Rehearsing, recalling, replaying, ruminating on the problems causes us anxiety, causes us to be depressed, and it influences our decision-making from day to day. And it's extremely debilitating. You know, I had a client this week, as you probably already know, I'm a clinical counselor, and I had a client this week, and she said that she has had trouble, and over time, a long, long time, I mean, she's in her 70s and whatever, but she feels that this voice is the voice of her mom is just really in her back of her mind, and she can't do anything right. She won't amount to anything, and it's just really debilitating her. And she wanted to know how practically she could switch that off. And I said, "You have the power to do that. The voices and the dominant factor of that is that you have the power." So I said to her, one of the things that's good is that you need to ground yourself. So when you hear it and it's debilitating and it's making you anxious, because it does, doesn't it? When you hear the voice, especially the negative loop, it makes you anxious. It makes you go, "Oh no, I can't." It just freezes you. And so you need to ground yourself. So whenever this is for you guys, if you feel like you hear negative loops in the back of your mind and just keeps talking to you, you need to ground yourself. You need to touch something that's tangible so that you can actually go, "Okay, I'm actually here. Like, so grounding. And then what you need to do is acknowledge the fact that if there is that, so she said it's the back of her head, so you need to go put this, your hand in the back of your head, and then actually say, okay, acknowledge it, I hear you. And then you go, but I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I hear you, but I'm not listening to you. And you do that over in time and time again. And it's not like a formula that you need to do, but it actually helps. It actually helps because what you're doing is that you have the power over your thoughts. You have the power to not rehearse those problems because it does not us do any good. Philippians 4:8 in the Message Bible, this is what it says. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, that are noble, that are reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise and not things to curse. The best is yet to come. We hear that all the time. But I encourage, and whoever this is for, I am declaring to you that the best is yet to come for you. So whatever those noises that you have, like shut the button, like turn off the button and then the off button and help you to move life forward. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, this is what it says. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive. We take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. You have the power of your thoughts. Amen? They don't control you. You control it. Choose to make them obedient to Christ by focusing on the good things that God has for you. You know, to grow stronger in our faith, we need to stop the negative thoughts that plague our minds. We need to focus on the unchangeable God who is behind those promises. The third point I want to share with you, and my last point is this, and I made it with us. Don't reject God's word. So, first of all, don't resign on God's promises. Secondly, don't rehearse the problems. And then thirdly, don't reject God's words. 2 Timothy 3:16, verse 17, this is what it says. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, and that is you and I, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Have you ever heard of selective hearing? Do you have any people in your life that just hears things selectively? Well, you know, in God's word, we could do that. We selective hear what God has to say about us. And, you know, this is not like a buffet or anything like that where we just pick and choose what we want and what's relatable for our lives. We need not to reject God's words and instruction. We can't just take the promises, the protection, the provisions, and the protection of God and yet not take into account the prophecies that he has made. You know, whether you like it or not, there'll be a judgment day. And this is very sobering. When you and I will be judged for the things we have spoken, for the things we have done, for every idle word we speak or have spoken, our words will either acquit us or condemn us. That's what the scriptures tells us. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." You know, it's good to focus on God's promises, yeah? It's all good. It's all good to focus on the nature and unchanging of God and his sameness. And there's no change, but we need to remember there's no change in God's judgment for those that refuses God's word. So remember what I said, for those that refuse, that for those that reject God's word, the judgment is final. His words and his promise and his provision and protection do not and cannot change. You need to know that if you reject Jesus, you will go to a Christless eternity. When we die, his justice and his judgment are unchanging. His warnings are consistent. And you know, there are warnings in the Bible that are consistent with God's nature from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and that's from beginning to end. In Genesis, he told Adam and Eve that if they disobeyed God, that they shall surely die. John 8:24 says this, I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. I'm telling you all this because there are people around you, and maybe even yourselves, that are not fully aligned with God. And this is me included. These are the things that need to be adjusted and realigned, because sometimes we stay silent on the things that matter, you know, to God. We stay silent on the people that we need to talk to, because confronting and correcting and challenging is uncomfortable. Because our desire to be liked, our desire to be accepted, and our desire to belong stops us from telling people about Jesus and that they need to realign their life back to God. We become content with the status quo. But there are matters that we shouldn't be silent about. And I'm not talking about being the great corrector or being the great judger of all things. I'm talking about not staying silent when you see something that is compromised or contradictory to the word of God. Matthew 18:15, this is what it says. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. Remember that, it's always in private. Never to accuse, never to accuse, never to humiliate, right? If he listens and pays attention to you, you have won back your brother. We can become lukewarm in our faith and not as hot for Jesus as we used to. And there's a warning about this in Revelations. So because you are lukewarm, spiritually useless, and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, rejecting you with disgust. Have you ever seen someone vomit? It's disgusting. Like they go like in the coming out of their nose and their mouth and their ears. It's just, yeah, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And it's really off-putting, you know, especially when they live in your house. But anyway, there are always people, okay, there are always people in the world that do not believe. God will always give us opportunity to tell people about God. It's not always verbal, but it is how we live our lives. You and I may be the only Bible people read, and you and I might be the only Jesus people see. There's a quote, another from Charles Spurgeon, and this is what it says. If you have no wish for others to go to heaven, you are not going there yourself. If you have no wish for others to go to heaven, you are not going there yourself. This message is not, I know sometimes it's sobering to talk about things like this, but it is important to be reminded that while God's promises and protection and his provisions are true and unchangeable, his judgment and his prophecies in the Bible are also final. If you reject or refuse God's words. We're going to have a time of communion, and this is an opportunity for us to get right back with God. It is an opportunity for Jesus to reveal himself to you once again. You know, communion is about communicating with God. It's about communing. It's an intimacy. It's that closeness with God. Communion is a reminder of what Jesus has done for us at the cross. Communion reminds us of the forgiveness we experience through Jesus. You know, the act of taking communion doesn't actually save us. It is an act of worship and remembrance. Communion is the believer's table. In fact, the scripture tells us that we need to examine ourselves before having communion. That we take communion with a humble heart and not just pretending to be right with God. So today, if you believe that Jesus has died on the cross and has forgiven of you of all of your sins and has rose again on the third day, then I encourage you to partake in communion. You know, he's the only way for you to have eternal life. There's no one else. So can I have the service team hand out our communion now? And when you receive it, I would like for you to stand and just examine yourself where you are at this moment. You know, God chose the cross even before man chose to rebel. God already had a plan, a way out, a way for salvation, way before sin entered the world. God already knew way ahead of time that we will rebel against him and that he would need to provide a way out. God chose the cross before we choose to repent. Before we choose to repent, God already made a way of salvation through the sacrifice, the complete sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Romans 5:8 says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending his Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. You know, God chose the cross way before we choose to repent. If you received your elements, could you please stand so I know that you have received them? God chose the cross way before we choose to respond. God chose the cross even though not all will choose to respond. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is what communion is about. It's about understanding that the price has already been paid. Jesus is an all-sufficient Savior. Eternal life has been purchased through Jesus' sacrifice at the cross for everyone and anyone who chooses to believe. None of us can earn it. None of us deserve it. It's a gift from God. As we hold the biscuit in our hand, this is a symbol of Jesus' body, which has been given for you. Why don't we take that now? Take the juice as a symbol of Jesus' blood that spilled on that day in Calvary. Why don't we take it now? Father, I thank you that you chose the cross long before you knew that we will rebel. Lord, thank you that you have chosen the cross way even before we choose to repent. And Father, I thank you that you've chosen the cross way before we choose to respond. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the sacrifice you have made, Father, so that we can have an eternal life with you. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you have made a way when there is no way. You have made a way so that we can have a restoration, redemption, and have our relationship restored back to you. Thank you, Jesus. We are forever grateful. We are forever thankful. Thank you. Why don't you pass your glasses to the inside aisle and the team will collect that for you. While you're standing this morning, let's just have a moment of worship. Because at the end of the day, we need God. We need God. He's the only one that does not change. And if you heard anything today, I want you to remember that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Amen. Why don't we just sing?
You heard your children. Provide.
be amiss of me if I don't give you an opportunity this morning that if you need prayer, you can come down the front and our team will minister to you. You don't even have to be prayed for, but if you need prayer, then please come to the front. For our online community, if you need prayer this morning, healing, provision, salvation, if you want to say yes to Jesus, you heard the message this morning about it. Don't refuse God. Don't reject His words. Because as much as the promises are great, there is also a time when God will judge each and every one of us. And I really believe that if you are here this morning, whether online or in person, and if you want to realign your lives back to God, then I'll encourage you. If you're online, please comment, please pray for me, and one of our teams will come and connect with you and pray with you. You will not go unnoticed. You will not go in the cyberspace. We will pray for you. So this morning, as we just sing that once again, if you need prayer, it's open this morning. Have a great week. Next week is Mother's Day, so make sure you bring your moms, your grandma, anyone, and we're going to honor all the women in our house. Amen. Amen. Thank you.